The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was read, which is really in the context of the first 42 verses of the fourth chapter of John. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your revelation to us in your word, and we pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to understand the meaning of your word for our destinies and for our vocations. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, the first thing in these 42 verses is telling us about God. God is a spirit. He seeks us to worship him in spirit and truth, as was read. But prior to that, there is a kind of preparation for this. Jesus is going through Samaria with his disciples to Galilee. They're tired, hungry, thirsty. They come to this well at Sychar. The disciples go to get food. A woman, and Jesus is sitting there, and a woman comes to draw water, deep well, say 100 feet, with a rope. He says, "Give me a drink." She said, "How is it that you, a Jew, would ask of me, a Samaritan? A woman of Samaria." You know, the Jews looked in a racial way condescending on the Samaritans. And also, the rabbis, for example, you notice the disciples at the end of the account are wondering, when they return, are wondering, how come he's talking to a woman? There was also a condescending attitude toward women. But the Messiah is here, and he crashes through the two big problems of the human being. One, evil, which is involved in bias, prejudice, bigotry, and the other is death. And it doesn't take long in this dialogue, and they get to these important subjects. Actually, the very reference she makes about the racial prejudice, and the fact that she notices that this Jew, and now we find out that in the reading too, that he is Messiah, and they've talked about where they worship. And this is startling to her, the fact that he would be caring and loving and accepting to her. That love of God in the arms of Jesus reaches out as on a symbol on the bulletin and on the church of one of the recent missions our team started in Holland, Michigan. And of course, it's a Dutch settlement, Holland, Michigan, but now 20% of the people are from Mexico. And one of these Mexicans came to that church with his family and joined it, and he explained to the pastor why he came. He said, "I saw those arms, and it says the love of Jesus, and I felt that that love was enough to include us." And that's why he came to church. You know, one of these disciples, after the resurrection, Jesus says, "You love me three times, and then care for my not only sheep, but lambs. Feed my lambs." So Jesus is teaching her. She is new, and he's telling her, "I am he, the Messiah." But more than that, in the conversation, he has already said, "Invite your husband. Bring your husband." "Oh, I don't have a husband." "No, you speak honestly, truthfully. You know, not only worship in spirit and truth, but be real and honest about everything else." And she says, "You're speaking honestly. You've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband." She says, "I perceive you're a prophet." Well, when the Messiah comes, the Christ, she says, he will tell us all things. And now he says, "I am he," and she is so excited, she forgets her water bucket, and she runs back to the people at Sychar, and she tells them, "Oh, what he knows all about me." You know, sort of like Nathanael, the signs and wonders. Jesus says, "Nathanael, that catches your attention." In this case, it did for this woman. And she believes in that, what she tells them, it says, many of them believed. Meanwhile, the disciples come back. "Rabbi," they say, "eat." You know, they're at the same level this woman. At first, she talks about the water as just something that she draws out of the well and so on. But finally, it's more than that in Jesus' interpretation of it. He uses these symbols then of also of the harvest and the sowing and the reaping. And he tells them, I have food that is not of this world. Wow, they wonder, who brought him some food? What was this? He says, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. And that's, you know, he repeats these same words very simply on the cross. He says, give me a drink. On the cross, he said, dipso, one word. I thirst, very short word. And for those of us, you know, when the heart stops, and I've gone through this, terrible thirst. Ray Nitschke died this last January, the same terrible thirst. Jesus on the cross, I thirst. When the heart's, you know, is you're getting to the end, it's a terrible thirst. I thirst. Enough water from the sponge so he can speak another word. He talks here about finishing his Father's work. There he says, tetelestai. It is finished. He has finished his Father's work. And then, you notice, here he talks about his Father, the will of his Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so he has finished the work. And we know him now as that Messiah. But these people are coming, and Jesus is going to teach toward the end of the text a lesson. He says, you know, there's the harvest. Many have sown. These many are coming. And it's sort of like ask, seek, and knock. First it's ask, give me a drink. Simple language. Then it's the living water. Oh, give me of that to drink, so I don't have to draw this water. I'll never thirst. Now, it's a harvest, and there are many. And he says, somebody sowed, but you're going out now, and they will be coming in. You will be harvesting those where you didn't do the work. And then he goes on to say, but when they are, you know, what we would say today, part of the believers in the congregation. You know, we have a nucleus here of enough to start a mission. And we look at the demographics today, and that would be enough to start another mission. And so he says, the harvest is there, and the harvesters and the sowers are happy. And then he concludes by saying, the water, the fountain that I give you of living water will spring up to be well of eternal life, water of eternal life. That is the harvest at the end. And we look forward through the children. I'm thinking, where would we meet at a well today? Some well drinking spot, or as it was for us, at least some of us on the team, it was in Gary, and I would eat my second breakfast after driving up there in the morning. It would be the sausage sandwich and the hash browns and a pancake and a cup of coffee and so on. And I was the only white in there, and I'm, you know, I think of the Samaritans and the Jews, and there's something going on here. I can tell that, you know. I asked somebody else, yeah, a white fellow said, oh, you look the other way, you know, and the people, that's the only way they express this. They don't have the long conversation the woman has about it. And then, but I say, we're starting a mission down 4th Avenue here and all these things. And but the little children, this is what, feed my lambs. They're standing in these lines, McDonald's. Meanwhile, there's a homeless woman about 35 years old, covered with a olive, our old army blanket, sleeping across the chairs. And I see these children. There's a child in front of me in the line. I pat him on the head, you know, 5 to 8, 9 years old. Jesus loves you. Pray often. He's all excited too. Like this woman there meets the Messiah. I mean, there's something about the gospel here that is getting through, more than just the language. You know, most of communication is nonverbal. Jesus loves you. Now, another one comes over there. Jesus loves you. Pray often. And another one. And all, once they're all around me here, it isn't the water or the food anymore here. It's at McDonald's. And they high-five me, you know. High-five, you know. They're high-five like they just won the NCAA finals. Jesus loves them. They can pray. God is a spirit. Worship him honestly in spirit and truth. Can children do it? Yes. Coming to Jackson, Mississippi, we started a couple of missions. I called this one guy, he says, oh, he says, it's going great. We got a building, we got land, we got a big congregation. I feel guilty. I said, well, how come you feel guilty? The children did all of this. In Daily Vacation Bible School, they had a yellow button on them that says, Jesus loves me. And they went around all these new children, all these new houses, invited them in, and now we have a large congregation. As it says here in the text, many came, and there was the harvest. And we think of that. God is a spirit. Paul writes, if the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we're talking about evil and death, not only the feeling of this woman's forgiveness and acceptance by the Messiah, but what about death? And we think of that on this Memorial Day. With that, I want to close. If that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give you eternal life. That fountain will be water of everlasting life. I reviewed a chaplain's book. He tells about the end of the Second World War, and he wanted to be a missionary. He's talking about missions in here. He says, the war was over. The captain got on his squawk box. He hadn't talked to us during the whole war, the chaplain wrote. This is the captain speaking. Use code language. We wonder, we're going to occupy Japan, Germany? He says, we're going to take the following route, and we're going to Uncle Sugar. Well, the chaplain said, those sailors all knew. That was Uncle Sam. That was home. We're going home. Not the salt water. We're going home to the fresh water of hope. Kamikaze dive bomber sank our munition ship right here in the Pacific, he said. Early in the war, they were all burned and lost, he says. Now those plane motors can roar in peace. Hope. And all the death. We loaded up these soldiers, and we're going aloft Bataan and Corregidor. And I said to this old sergeant beside me, wasn't that terrible, the death march? Silence. I looked up, tears coming down his cheeks. He says, I took 120 men in there, and 16 of us came out alive. Thank God we're going home. Off of Corregidor and off Manila, this fellow said, this chaplain writes, the worst storm ever hit the Pacific hit our fleet. I mean, now we're dealing with massive evil, not of people in wars that can't handle it with diplomacy, but nature. At midnight, we got a radio report, a ship like ours broken too, all hands lost. At 3 a.m., I hung on a post and I prayed, Lord God, hold this old tub together, we're going home. On a foggy morning, I recognized the silhouette of San Francisco. A yacht pulled up with a big banner, welcome home! And the band played familiar tunes. When they put down the gangplank, he said, for the first time in the war, I took advantage of the cross on my collar, and I led the men. What's he saying? You know, it's sort of like this water and this harvest and this sowing. There's always another level. Wouldn't it be appropriate? They respected him. Wouldn't it be appropriate for our respect for those who led us to Jesus to show us around in our home in heaven when we get there? And he gets back to the mundane. I bought a head of lettuce and ate the whole thing. Didn't have one for 4 years. I bought some candy and flowers, and I called my wife. We'd known each other since we were in high school. We were home. We think of that today, of all those white crosses of death, the Spirit of God that gave us life, and it will give us life again in our harvest home. We're going home. Amen.